so much for joining us today. This is Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse at naturalnurse.com. And we're here with you, as always, on Progressive Radio Network. That's PRN.FM. We're so happy to be here with you. And we love to hear from you. We have over 300,000 people downloading our podcast, which is just fantastic. And we'd love to hear from every one of you. It might take us a while to get back to you, but of course, not everybody interacts at once. But what you can do is just go to naturalnurse.com anytime you'd like, and that's a really easy way to get in touch with us. Also, you could go to Facebook, The Natural Nurse. That's another way. We take messages there. Or to tell you the truth, I answer more quickly to emails from naturalnurse.com because I'm not a Facebook junkie. There's so many wonderful classes and workshops coming up, many of which you can join in person, on ground, and many of which are online. Two that are coming right up shortly. One is hemp, THC, TBD, CBD, cannabis, endocannabinoids. What's all the buzz? Do you want to find out? Well, as a member of the American Cannabis Nurses Association and, of course, American Holistic Nurses Association, I will be lecturing at Forest Hills Community Center, and that is in West Palm Beach, Florida, this week. Check the website for the date. And it's from 7 to 9 p.m., and that actually has two CE units, specifically for licensed massage therapists, but anybody can attend, and it is free. Hemp is taking the world by storm with a dizzying variety of products and claims. What's true? What's the hype? How do you use it? Find out more. So you can join us live on that day if you're in the Florida area, because that's an on-ground. Then we have an online that anyone can join us for from anywhere in the world and also at any time, because once we do this live, then you get the link to the full entire webinar, whether you attend live or not. But we will have the seminar on herbs for the holy days, all about the various herbs that are mentioned in the Bible and have been used throughout history and even during prehistoric times by civilizations around the world for food, medicine, and spiritual ritual, especially linked to things like Hallows Eve and All Souls Day and the Christmas experience and Hanukkah, etc., and Kwanzaa, all the kinds of herbs that are linked specifically to these holidays, along with magic rituals that have been used for luck and for love, as well as the components, the active medicinal constituents in these herbs. And that will be called Herbs for the Holy Days. It's on December 15th, which is a Sunday, 9:30 to 11 a.m. in the morning, to join us live. But if that time doesn't work for you, once you sign up for that, then you can, we send you the link, you join in anytime. And that class has three CE credits for all kinds of professionals, including registered dietitians, registered nurses, RDs, NPs, licensed massage therapists. And if you are not a professional who needs CE credits, you can take the course anyway for your own knowledge. Nobody is blocked. But if you are a healthcare provider with those licenses, you also get three CE units. So these go on all the time. Just go to naturalnurse.com calendar to find out about all those classes. And talking about CBD, today we have our guest, who's going to go very deeply into this, because our topic is CBD and cannabis, safe and effective use for insomnia, anxiety, and pain. And this is our wonderful guest, Dr. Mary Clifton, medical doctor. She's an internal medical doctor in New York City with more than 20 years of experience in hospital and private practice settings. She's passionate about innovation and patient empowerment, and she has created the largest compilation of research, reference, and educational videos on cannabis, which is available at cbdandcannabisinfo.com. I've been there and I've been watching those videos. They're absolutely great, Dr. Clifton. Dr. Clifton is registered with the New York State Department of Health's Medical Marijuana Program and also is a national best-selling author and expert in the field. So we're going to try to get her back on the line, actually. And she has previously worked on national breaking speaking bureaus for a lot of major companies such as Eli Lilly, Amgen, Forest Pharmaceuticals, and Medtronic. So we're going to see when she gets back on the line. I believe they're having a little bit of trouble there getting her. But you know what? I will, meanwhile, just also share with you some of the great information that we're now seeing in the world of cannabis. So Dr. Clifton is back. Thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Clifton.
Well, thank you for having me. I had a little hiccup there, but I think I'm here to stay this time.
Oh, let's hope so. But, you know, this is live, right? We're on and things like that happen, so it's absolutely fine. In my intro, I talked about the fact that you actually are specializing as a physician in the which is legal in New York State and many other states now, which is the medicinal use of marijuana.
Absolutely, yes. I have developed an expertise in that field and shot now coming up on 100 videos that people can use to learn how to use CBD or other cannabinoid preparations, medical cannabis, for all kinds of conditions.
Well, I watched some of those videos, and they're really excellent. We can, you know, it lays it out in a very clear and easy to follow way.
Oh, I really love to hear that. I try so hard to make things easy to understand. I think it's really easy for doctors to fall back into doctor speak and just be really difficult to understand. And because I remember when I went to medical school, my older brother said to me, you know, as much as you're learning a whole bunch of new data, you're learning a new language. You know, the way that doctors talk to each other is different and very technical. So really important that these videos, it's very important to me that these videos are easy to understand and fun to watch. I like to come up with some silly things that I find as I'm learning and include those in the videos for fun.
Well, there is so much confusion in this field, Dr. Clifton, and I do want to tell people they can find you at cbdandcannabisinfo.com. And what is the cannabinoidprotocol.com website about?
Oh, the cannabinoid protocol is a training tool that I put together, and we're offering that in various communities where people, you know, have people that need to be trained that want to learn more, like dispensary workers or people that are selling CBD or other cannabinoids and just want to have that clinical skill. So, and we're adding it as an adjunct to some other programs in university settings. It's really been a tremendous amount of hard work, 9 hours of great video around, you know, movement disorders, anxiety, insomnia, autism, pain, all of the important places where cannabinoids may have substantial benefit to human health. And very focused on human health so that people can, heal up and get better from their chronic conditions and know how to do that.
Well, you know, it's also so confusing in terms of just the language surrounding this whole topic. Like words such as CBD, hemp, marijuana, THC. What does it all mean? And it even sometimes has more than one meaning. So if healthcare providers are confused, of course, many people in the public are as well. So let's start with some of those definitions. What is the difference between CBD, something like people may see in the grocery store nowadays, and medical marijuana?
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, you know, medical cannabis or medical marijuana, marijuana and cannabis are interchangeable. But medical marijuana is utilizing CBD, but also other cannabinoids. You know, we're all familiar with CBD. Everybody's talking about CBD. You'd have to be under a rock to not have heard about it and how it might be able to help you. But, and everybody's also heard about THC, the cannabinoid that gets you high. So what, so medical cannabis utilizes both CBD and THC. There's other cannabinoids that are in lesser concentrations that we don't hear about very often, like CBN, CBG, CBC. All of those products are also found in medical cannabis in very small percentages. But if you're using a CBD product, particularly in isolate, you're just getting the CBD. So you're not getting any of these other products. There's no risk that it's going to get you high. There may be a trace amount of other cannabinoids, but the percentage is very, very low.
So you're saying, but if there's THC, it is possible to have some kind of psychoactive effect.
Well, it could be, but I mean, a product that's labeled CBD is supposed to have less than 0.3% THC.
Exactly. And truthfully, to tell you the truth, because I do a lot of regulatory in this area, No product should say CBD on the label. That is actually illegal, according to the FDA. So if you're looking for a company who is selling something like CBD oil, but they are doing it within the realms of regulatory control, which tells you something about the company, it should say on the front, hemp. It can say full spectrum hemp. And then on the back of the label, it can tell you how many, let's say, cannabinoids you might get or cannabidiol you might get in a serving size. But it really, actually, it is illegal now to have CBD on the front of the label. So it gets intensely confusing. And the reason for that is because the CBD drug that is now on the market, that I'm sure you're familiar with, that is considered a drug, so therefore similar labeling for a dietary supplement is now illegal, just to add to the confusion.
Just to add to the confusion and complexity, yeah. I welcome more regulation. I think the market is probably under-regulated, but approaching it in a smart way, I really hope that we can do things that are very logical and intentional as we add regulation to the space.
Well, have you worked at all with Apidiolex, which is the actual pharmaceutical legally marketed, which is really just CBD oil? It's actually a CBD isolate rather than full spectrum. Have you had any experience actually with patients using this? Because I have not.
No, I haven't worked with that particular product. I have worked with all kinds of cannabinoid formulations for patients with various complaints, but I haven't specifically recommended, you know, that brand name.
Okay, well, that brand name is the only one that is an FDA-approved drug that really any doctor can now write a prescription for. So it's just interesting. If you ever do wind up working with it, just let me know, because I have no experience when people are asking me, how about a Pedialex? My doctor can write a prescription for it. I said, well, maybe, but all I know about it is that it is a CBD isolate and that it's pretty strong because it's 100 milligrams per ml, per milliliter, per serving. So that's that's quite strong. And it was developed mostly for seizure disorder. That I know as well. So we always have more to learn, that's for sure.
Probably that will be the problem with asking your doctor to write a script for you for that, because it is indicated for the treatment of seizures associated with some of these rare seizure disorders for very young children. So your doctor may be able to write a script, but then he would be writing what we refer to as off-label, where, you know, and we write off-label a lot for a different medications if they have an indication that doesn't fall exclusively into the way the drug was tested. You know, a lot of antibiotics are tested and get FDA certification for one bacterial condition. But we, you know, recognize that they have value in other places, and so insurance will cover an antibiotic for a condition that it wasn't actually directly tested in. So that might be true with Epidiolex, but you may find that if you ask your doctor to write the script, you bring the script to pharmacy, and you're not going to save any money. It's not going to be covered on your insurance because you're not using it for the indicated purpose.
Unless someone does have, in fact, seizure disorder. So yeah. It's a confusing situation. But, you know, there's another topic for one of your videos. There you go, because this is an evolving process, and you are so way ahead of the curve. So let's go back to your expertise, which is actually in New York, the fact that legal marijuana, medical marijuana, is now legal in New York. So how would a patient access it? And how would they, let's say, discuss with you their case? Are you someone who could then walk them through the process of actually obtaining legal medical marijuana with recommendations on how to use it correctly?
Oh, yes. I offer consultations so that if people have questions about how to use medical cannabis, I can provide a card. That's easy to do. And then,
okay, wait a minute. We're going to talk about that. What does that mean? Okay. Provide a card. Let's go back.
Well, I mean, in order to access medical marijuana in New York State, you have to be a certified patient. And so I have to go through a 4-hour process. It's been a year or so now of training to make sure that I have a certain amount of basic fund of knowledge to help you with your questions, and then I can work with the New York State Department of Health to get you a card and get you quote unquote certified so that you can go to a dispensary and use medical cannabis in the state of New York.
Right. So when people, and they do this sometimes, in fact, I did it myself. I was driving along Route 110 in Huntington, Long Island. I'm now in Florida. And I passed this place, and it was called The Botanist. And being an herbalist, as I am, and my husband is very interested in gardening, so we said, oh, what is that? And he said, oh, it must be some kind of garden center. And I said, oh, it must be some kind of herb store. So we drove in, and we were shocked. We walked up to the door, and you would think you were going into Fort Knox. They were like, I don't know, armed guards and 4 layers of doors you had to get through. And then when we went in there, it was actually quite beautiful, very modern, very clean, very beautiful, with shelf after shelf in glass cases of all these different kinds of marijuana.
Oh, yeah. I love some of these new dispensaries. I was just out in L.A., you know, considering a medical director opportunity with a company that's opening a consumption lounge out there with a very cool Moroccan theme and infused foods, and you can smoke in the consumption lounge. But then they also have like a medical clinical portion off to the side for people who need to have more formal consultations around their chronic illnesses. And all up and down that Green Mile, they're calling it, there's just one after another cool little location popping up. Some just very classic smoke shops that look like, you know, what you're seeing everywhere. And then some of them are so fancy and upscale, and the whole shopping experience looks like it's going to be a blast.
So that is so cool. Can you just tell us, because you just gave me a new vocabulary word. I never heard of that before. Is that like a club where you hang around and smoke pot, but now it has a fancy name called medical consumption?
a consumption lounge. That's what they
consumption
call it.
Consumption lounge.
And they, you know, so people will say that they're opening a consumption lounge with a Moroccan theme, or that sort of has an Amsterdam vibe, or and I feel like the Amsterdam vibe is a little more toned down and casual, and like louder music and just in couches, more of a hangout, where obviously the Moroccan is going to be a little bit more upscale and plush and more pillows and, you know, that feel. So I love it. I think it's great, especially because, you know, it may be legal, but, you know, there's your apartment building in New York may have an issue with the odor, your neighbors may, or you may just have a prohibition against smoking anything in your building, or you may, and you certainly can't be out on the street smoking, you know, so the consumption gets a little tricky for a lot of people. So having these lounges makes it really easy. We don't have them in New York yet, at least not legally, of course, because we don't have a recreational, portion to our laws. But once we get recreational cannabis on the books, then I expect you'll see these consumption lounges popping up, kind of like bars, except for nobody's, getting into brawls because everybody's just hanging out.
Well, you know, which is really how it was, you know, even throughout the 60s when we were involved in this strictly on a illegal recreational level. But getting back to what people can do in New York right now, they can get, so when I went into the Botany Lounge there, you know what, we're going to take a little break here because we're right close to break time, and then hold on, don't get disconnected again. We are talking with Dr. Mary Clifton, and she is a medical doctor, internal medical doctor in New York City with 20 years experience in hospital and private practice settings, and she is having her practice focus now on medical marijuana, and we'll be back with more in just a few minutes. You're listening to The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z on Progressive Radio Network.
On this edition of The Natural Medicine Chest, we'll discuss the folklore, history, chemistry, and medicinal applications of the common kitchen herb, thyme.
The common culinary spice known botanically as Thymus vulgaris is only one member of a large genera which includes over 400 species and even more varieties. The Thymus genera is originally native to the Mediterranean region and is a perennial plant which grows wild in usually dry, sandy soil, green heaths, and grasslands. Thyme is a prolific, fragrant, creeping ground cover and often displays an attractive spray of flowering branchlets spanning the spectrum from white to violet.
There is considerable debate amongst historians as to the origin of the name thyme. Some believe it to be from the Greek thymen, meaning to fumigate or to burn a sacrifice, because it was used as a sweet-smelling incense and also to keep pests and venomous creatures away from the Greek home. Others believe it came from the Greek thumos, meaning courage or energy, perhaps because it has a reputation of being used by Greek warriors for courage and was bathed in and used as a beverage for invigoration. The Egyptians used an herb called thyme, which we believe is Thymus vulgaris, to mummify their dead. The principal chemical constituents of thyme are the volatile oils consisting of phenol, thymol, and carvacrol. A 1977 article in the scientific journal Chemical Abstracts revealed that thymol's antimicrobial activity is 18 times more powerful than phenol. Phenol is a major antiseptic used in commercial germicidal cleaners like Lysol. Thymol is one of the most potent antimicrobial substances known and far surpasses even the strongest antibiotics. It has been illustrated in the Journal of Chemistry and in the Merck Index of Drugs and Chemicals to destroy parasites, worms, fungi, bacteria, mosquito larvae, and many viruses.
The pharmaceutical and cosmetic industry is privy to the important medicinal effects of oil of Thymus vulgaris. It is ubiquitously found in gargles, cough drops, vapor rubs, and many mouthwashes. oil of thyme is to be used, albeit very sparingly because of its potency, as a gargle or mouthwash for sore throats and inflamed gums. Because the volatile oil is expelled via the lungs and kidneys, naturopathic physicians use it for upper respiratory infections and urinary tract infections. If you're in the midst of a cold and are lying in bed with too much thyme on your hands, try making a thyme tea made with just a few teaspoons of thyme to a cup of boiling water. It's an excellent diaphoretic because it causes the body to perspire profusely. Thyme also possesses an excellent carminative and antispasmodic effect, helping in poor digestion, flatulence, and intestinal gripe.
So, listeners, if you're feeling ill, thyme heals all wounds. Remember to reach for that thyme in a bottle the next time you open up the natural medicine chest.
And welcome back to more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. You can find us at naturalnurse.com. And today we are having a discussion with physician Dr. Mary Clifton, who's an internal medicine doctor in New York City and is focusing her practice right now on the medicinal use of marijuana, cannabis, CBD, all those kinds of things, which they are not all the same. So, Dr. Clifton, I'd like to ask you about one thing that's really in the news right now, if you can clarify this, because there's so much discussion about vaping, and a lot of it does involve both CBD and THC, and the problems with that that are occurring. Can you clarify how that, what's going on, and how is that different than what you're talking about?
Well, I mean, all of these issues around the lung disease and vaping are so unfortunate. And I think just evidence of an unregulated industry, you know, where some where things have just not been managed and the products that are contained within the vaping tools haven't been, you know, effectively managed. And so, unfortunately, I think that sometimes leads to situations where things are contaminated or where for example, I think a large part of the issue that we're dealing with the vaping is, of course, the vitamin E contaminants that have gone into these homemade vaping products that people are buying off of a secondary market. But there's issues even with just standard vapes and the flavorings. There's a diacetyl chemical in 60%, studies are showing upwards of 60% or more vapes that have a flavoring. And the diacetyl has a known risk of taking normal healthy lungs to irreversibly diseased lungs, commonly. It's an occupational hazard for people that work with diacetyl. It's a food safe flavoring. But it's not necessarily inhalation safe just because it can be eaten. It can't really be inhaled. And the diacetyl is one of the flavorings that gets used that we have the most close association with lung problems. But all kinds of other flavorings are also present in these that we probably don't have as much data on that could also be contributing. And then there's just the question of when you're vaping, you know, you're giving yourself a serving of oil frequently. The there's a MCT oil or some type of oil medium that the tobacco or cannabinoid has been sort of brought into solution with, and we don't think that your lungs know how to manage oils very well, you know. So it may just be that we have to change the vapors to something more of an atomizer or an inhaler rather than a vape. But I think that a little bit more work and the science will get figured out and we'll have safe vaping again. I think we just haven't done enough regulation and we've let the industry go you know, unregulated, and that always unfortunately leads to some problems.
Now, of course, there are many times if you write a prescription, if someone goes to one of those dispensaries, like I did, mm-hmm. I just wandered in there and they said, well, in order to be able to purchase something here, you have to mm-hmm. first visit a physician. And they had a list of many local physicians who might be the right ones to visit, because I mm-hmm. wonder how someone does find a physician who's involved in writing and deciding if someone can get a prescription, or I guess it's called a card. I'm not sure what it's called. You can tell us, so that you can revisit the dispensary and actually purchase something. How does that work?
Oh, you can Google it. It's very easy to find somebody. I mean, there's all kinds of large companies that are running that are able to be found on the internet. If you just typed in, you know, medical cannabis cards, I'm certainly available. But there's all kinds of really great, competent doctors that are working all throughout the state of New York that could help you. The thing you just want to keep track of is that, you know, sometimes people will offer a lower price for the card and then only give you 3 months or 6 months, so that you have to come back and get a renewal. And then you end up spending, you know, as much or more than somebody who's charging you a higher amount for a card that doesn't expire for a year. So just, you know, keep an eye out when you're looking for that on exactly what you're going to get when you pay, because sometimes you find a deal and it turns out it's not a deal at all. But, you know, the process of getting the card is not too complex. You have to provide some proof of the condition that you're getting treated for. So if you're, you know, dealing with chronic pain, you want to have some medical records that show that you have tried other things and things haven't worked. Or if you're dealing with PTSD especially, you want to make sure that you have some documentation to share with the provider. The provider's going to need that in order to do your documentation. And then they need a copy of your driver's license or evidence that you live in New York. You know, if your driver's license is not in New York, we need some proof that you're a New York citizen, so we're not writing cards for somebody who's not from New York. And then basically that amount of information, the information on your driver's license and your disease, is about all that's needed. And then you should be able to get a card. Then, after you work with the doctor, there's also a little bit of work that you have to do directly with the Department of Health. You have to register yourself online. But if you can post a picture on Facebook, you can do your registry online. It's not difficult.
Okay. What about elder people who don't use computers? Is there another way to get that New York State card once you do get a prescription from your physician?
It's probably pretty tricky if you don't use computers. There are some companies that will be supportive. It might be helpful for some people who don't use computers to get a neighbor or a friend who is comfortable with computers to help them, you know, with that portion of signing
or
up.
Or I find a 10-year-old grandchild.
Absolutely.
Very helpful with everybody.
I always say that. Get a fifth grader.
It is kind of sad, though, for elderly people, you know, who are not computer savvy, how many things are becoming inaccessible without that skill.
Yeah, but the good news is that computers are so highly unbreakable anymore, and it's very easy to become computer savvy at any age. So it's not a hard skill to master, really. And a couple of hours, you know, just relaxing and enjoying a new learning process, and you can be in pretty good shape.
So the process is, in New York and other states where it's legal, it's a similar process, at least in Florida. I don't know about other states. So there's levels of legality, like you pointed out, Dr. Clift. It's a legal just for medical use, like we have in New York right now. And then there's legal for recreational use, like I visited my son in Seattle, and it's just like, you know, whatever you want to go. It's just amazing, like completely unregulated. You can just walk into a store. Nobody's asking you for a license. I don't know about smoking in public. What about smoking in public? Like, my husband doesn't like any smoke around. And so, you know, there's been this process of making cigarette smoke not, you can't do that right in public. So what about people who are now just smoking marijuana, basically, in public? Because it's, you know, recreational use is also legal.
Yeah, I think even though recreational use is legal, I mean, I know this is true in Nevada, you know, recreational use is legal, but it's not legal to use it in public. It's not legal to use it in, I think, any hotel. So you really are a bit limited in where you're going to be able to use the product. So it does require a bit of finesse around that. And that's where these consumption lounges may work well. But yeah, the recreational use does allow for people to just walk in and get the products that they need without having to go through the card. Although if you are, there are still some positions for getting a card or for getting authorized for medical cannabis if you're in, you know, even if you're in a state where it's recreational legal, depending on where your employer is at, your employer may want you to get a card so that they, because they, you know, they may do some drug testing or, you know, they may just want to know that you're not using it just for recreational purposes. So you still want to investigate sort of what the reason would be to get a card and if it makes sense for you to get one.
Oh, that's another interesting thing that you brought up. Dr. Clifton, because even using these products, if someone is using it for medical use, let's say over-the-counter even, CBD oil, that has much less THC. But is there a possibility that you would fail a drug test by using these products?
With a broad-spectrum CBD, there is a possibility that there's up to 0.3% CBD, or THC in that container. There is a risk that there's a small amount of THC when you're using a broad spectrum or full spectrum CBD product. So if you absolutely cannot have any THC, then you want to work with a CBD isolate where they've done additional distillation and the only thing that is in that container is CBD. Yeah. But the other thing I also wanted to circle back to with the cards is that every state is a little different in terms of the cards and the work that has to be done around them. In New York, in Vermont, in Iowa, and I think in Florida, you can get a medical card telemedically. You don't have to go in and see an in-person doctor. But in multiple other states, Michigan, for example, you have to do a brick-and-mortar visit, an in-person visit with a doctor at least once a year in order to get your medical marijuana card. So you just have to, you know, it's easy to Google what the rules are in your state and then, you know, find a doctor. It's nice that New York allows New Yorkers to do it over the phone so that they don't need to take time out of their busy day and go to a doctor's office. But that's less common. It's more common that you have to be seen in person.
Yeah, well, here in Florida, it is a little different. First of all, the way it's dispensed is different. There's something here which is called vertical integration. So every single dispensary that you might come across in a mall, which are becoming more and more common, actually traces back to one growing establishment. So each grower has to actually be involved in the entire process of growing, extracting out the actives, and getting it to the dispensaries. And then they own the dispensaries. That's interesting. That's not the case in New York.
When you do apply for your license in New York, though, you really have to know, like, right from start to finish how it's going to go. Like, you have to have your growers in place and your distributors in place. In Michigan, they refer to it as a seed to sale, where there were a number of dispensaries that were open, but they weren't following the seed to sale guidelines, where you had to be able to track every final plant and, you know, basically on video all the way back to when it was planted. And if you couldn't keep track of your products all the way through the growing process and the processing, then you weren't allowed to sell in that market. So there was a whole group of dispensaries in Michigan the northern lower peninsula that just had to shut down until they can get up to speed with the seed-to-sale requirement. It provides that extra level of regulation. And I don't know, it probably helps to protect from things getting in the product that shouldn't be there. But I think at the end of the day, you're still dealing with a plant, and different seasons, different light exposure, different temperatures, you know, a little change in hydration, and you've got an entirely, not entirely different, but there's substantial changes in the cannabinoid percentages and in the terpenes, with just a few subtle differences. So, you know, we can try to regulate this, but to some degree, this plant is still going to behave like a plant.
Yes, that is so true. Now, what are some of the conditions that people might want to try? Certainly medical marijuana, or maybe do you also recommend, since it's widely accessible, a over-the-counter kind of good quality CBD for starters, because you don't have to go through getting a prescription and going to a dispensary?
You know, that's such a great question. I thought when I initially got into this, I was working with an IT team, and we were thinking about designing like a magic wheel where you could input your condition, the duration that you've been dealing with it, the intensity of the symptoms, and then we would output like the perfect product for you. And I think some people are still working on that, and there definitely is spaces that where it makes sense to do that. There are some products that will make you a little bit more anxious when they're a high THC or they're a very stimulating product, and may not be your wisest choice for starting to treat anxiety, for example. But in a lot of cases, starting with a little CBD is a really great start, unless you're dealing with nausea or loss of appetite, and you really need that. The THC seems to be the best in those environments. If you're trying to handle anything else, you can start with some CBD, and in a lot of cases, you might be able to end there. You may never need to think about all of the hassle that gets around the medical cannabis card.
Okay, well, that sounds, you know, like a good start. So we're going to take a little break right here, and we're going to let Progressive Radio Network, who is bringing you The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z and so many other wonderful shows, do a station ID, tell you about other shows you may find here, and we'll be right back with more with physician Dr. Mary Clifton right after our break. This is Ellen Kamai, The Natural Nurse.
I'm Dr. Peter Bregan, a psychiatrist who doesn't believe in psychiatric drugs and psychiatric diagnoses. I think they do more harm than good. And emotional problems don't come from our genetics or our chemistry. They come from our fears and our uncertainties about engaging life in a loving, rational way. Every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. New York time, I interview fellow pioneers in the human sciences. Call in to ask questions or to share your views on 888-874-4888. To talk with me and my guests live on the air on Wednesdays, 4 to 5 p.m. New York time. Join me on PRN.FM.
Get your daily dose of happy each morning at 9 a.m. Eastern Time on PRN. LOA Today is expanding to appear on PRN now 5 mornings per week, Monday through Friday. I'm Walt Thiessen, the host of LOA Today. The way you start your day sets the tone for the rest of the day, so start it happy. We explore the realm of positive psychology, the law of attraction, and the power of positive thinking, and we have a heck of a lot of fun in the process. you'll find yourself smiling each morning. That's LOA Today, weekday mornings at 9 a.m. Eastern Time here on PRN.
It's the Ralph Nader Radio Hour.
Stand up, stand up. You've been sitting way too long.
Every Thursday at 2 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Welcome back once again to more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z right here on Progressive Radio Network. And we love to hear from you. 300,000 of you have been downloading our podcast here, and we like to know about it. So give us an email at naturalnurse.com or go to Facebook, The Natural Nurse, and you can just follow along with our events. Go to naturalnurse.com calendar to see the upcoming classes. We'd love to have you join us at our upcoming presentation, which is called Herbs for the Holy Season, and all about different herbs that have biblical references and how to use them medicinally as well as spiritually in ritual and prayer. So that's coming up real soon. Yeah. And if you can't join us the day of, once you sign up, you get that whole webinar with the sound and the visuals emailed to you directly after we finish the presentation live. And today, our guest is Dr. Mary Clifton, MD, internal medical doctor with more than 20 years of experience, and she is passionate about innovation and the patient empowerment. She's telling us so much information about this really big topic. We talked about the vaping issue. We talked about how you can procure a license to get medical marijuana legally, and we're going into how you can just start off using CBD oil and see if that gives you any relief. So thank you so much for being our guest today, Dr. Mary Clifton.
Hey, I'll tell you what. I mean, I sat all the way through the commercial and then got disconnected, but the commercials on this show are as interesting as the show.
Yes, well, this is Progressive Radio Network, and of course, we are the leading voice in the world of progressive information, which no one hears anywhere else. And luckily, this station is so widely distributed, which is why we have over 300,000 people downloading. So sorry for some of the little interruptions today, but we still got you a fabulous hour of information. What I was sharing before you came back, Dr. Clifton, is in terms of over-the-counter CBD oil, which I suggest people look for really good quality brands, which will say hemp. They will say full spectrum hemp, not the hemp oil that you eat, though. That's even more confusion, because hemp oil that you eat, that you would use on a salad or as food, that is extracted from the plant's seeds, from the hemp seeds. But the hemp full spectrum CBD oil is extracted from the hemp flowers, which is the same as what the medical marijuana would be extracted from. And then, of course, there's full spectrum, which has all the various cannabinoids, as you discussed, as well as a very small amount of THC in the case of CBD oil. And one of the ways that I've been experimenting with using that is actually putting it on the belly button and allowing it to be absorbed. That's an ancient Ayurvedic oil therapeutic modality. Have you ever heard of that?
Yes, I have heard of that. What kind of results are you getting from using it that way?
So amazingly effective. And in fact, I just gave a webinar which actually had credits for RDs and nurses and other healthcare professionals, in which I actually shared my case studies from people who have been experimenting with that. Because as you and I know, in conventional mainstream literature, they say that there would be no effect, that there is no absorption through the umbilicus. Yet in ancient Ayurvedic teaching, they talk about that connection, even though we know it's there when a baby is born, they're getting all their nutrients through that area. And then they say it becomes vestigial after birth. And yet, if anyone presses on that area, you definitely get a feeling in nearby organs. So the bottom line is, it doesn't hurt to try. And the reports I have gotten back from CBD users who use it other ways and actually drop the oil on their umbilicus, usually before bed, is that they are getting a very, very deep sleep. In fact, one actually complained of the fact that they still felt kind of groggy in the morning, which didn't happen when they used the same amount of oil under their tongue. So,
interesting.
I don't know. Yeah, it's interesting. All right. It's interesting. And it doesn't seem to be harmful medically, in your medical opinion, to try it.
Well, you know, I'm always surprised at how much good benefit people get from using the topicals or the balms. And, you know, people will tell me that they've used a balm and they got a great benefit, and I wrote that off for such a long time. But I think there's more CB receptors on the skin and more stimulation to the to the tissues right beneath the skin. And there's, you know, I don't think there's any reason why you should feel concerned about giving it a try. It's certainly not going to hurt anything.
You know, the thing is that it is worth a try. And what we also know is I always report on the latest studies. And as you know, there's a plethora of information. So there is a study, it's a rat study, animal rights activists won't like this, but they used the oil topically, and then they allowed it to absorb a certain amount of time. And then, of course, unfortunately, they killed the animals, but then they measured the CBD molecules inside the organs and found that it is not just because of a skin and right under the skin effect. It actually does become systemic in terms of the uptake of the oils into the system.
That's a really good study to know about. I know I try to avoid animal studies myself because we're not animals. But oftentimes the way that things are metabolized or the way things work is just different between humans and animals. But I think there's certainly some systemic absorption that's contributing. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Right. So there's a lot of mystery still, mystery and madness with this topic. I absolutely love learning from you about the consumption lounge. To me, that kind of sounds like an opium den of old.
Maybe it's the modern day. I'll tell you what, there's never been a better time to be alive. There's so much innovation and excitement in medicine, and I feel like these wonderful opportunities to help people feel better, and I'm lucky to be in a position to help. It's such an exciting time.
Well, I want to thank you so much. That is so true. And, you know, it allows people to take another step in their self-care. And I would like to emphasize that, of course, this in no way replaces a healthy lifestyle that includes eating no junk food, lots of healthy food, incorporating stress reduction into your life, and things like massage therapy and reflexology. This doesn't say, okay, just do whatever you want, but it does say incorporate medical marijuana and CBD oil into your care routine that leads to a healthier life. And certainly the negative effects are a lot less than some of the strong painkillers and opioids and methotrexate for rheumatoid arthritis and all those kinds of pharmaceutical agents.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that and we've talked about this before, but I think that the identification of the ECS system in the 80s and 90s and the recognition of what CBD and cannabis is capable of doing for us is just another reminder that our makers doesn't want us to be unhappy and uncomfortable or sad and anxious. They just, our lives are meant to be lived in comfort and relative peace. And this system is just there to help with that. Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Mary. Please give us your contact information again.
Oh, of course. You can find all of my information at cbdandcannabisinfo.com. Every email that gets sent through there goes directly to my inbox. So if you have any questions or you have any requests for videos, put them there. Perfect.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you, listeners, for joining us for another edition of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Sorry for the glitches, but the show is full of excellent information. And thank you so much for joining us. You can always send us your comments through naturalnurse.com or visit us on Facebook, The Natural Nurse. Until next week, this is Ellen Kamai. And for myself and my co-host, Dr. Eugene Zamperone, we're hoping that you stay healthy.